This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does it have to be a classified briefing if these are just hobbyist drones? They're not military drones. Why is it a classified briefing on the Capitol Hill?
I'd have to refer you to Congress on that. Sharing as much information as we can here. I don't have the briefing in front of me, so I can't tell you specifically, you know, what aspects are classified or not. I can assure you, though, that again, we are sharing as much information as we can based on what we know.
The Pentagon Press Secretary Pat Ryder answering Fox News Channel's Jennifer Griffin's questions about the classified nature of the drone briefing. And it's captivated the country. Everybody wants to know what's going on. It's probably even broader than just the United States of America. These strange lights that are flying above New Jersey, people want to know what they are. Mostly, I think people want to know that they're safe and they want to be assured that they're safe. And I don't know that we've seen our government officials offer that type of security and comfort quite yet. Let's talk to Brett Volosevich, a former United States Army Special Ops Tech Analyst, a drone expert, and a member of the Red Cat Holdings Board of Advisors. Brett, thank you for being here with us today. We've seen you talking about these drones, and it's really great to have you on the show to talk about it with us this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Annie.
I will say, like, as like the most civilian thing you can say, like, I believe that the government has things that I don't know about. I don't even know how large of an estimation it would be of what we, the American people, the civilians, do know about. Like, do we know about 5%, 10%? When you're in New Jersey and you see these lights above you, you get nervous. And I think what makes people more nervous is the lack of information. How do you feel about the way the discussion has been held and kind of extended throughout these weeks while these lights are above New Jersey?
Well, that's the biggest issue I see with all of this is whether you want to call it military testing, adversarial, or nothing at all. It's the way the government has handled this and their transparency with the American people that has really botched this from the beginning. They should have been open to the public about this from day one, but they took a long time to respond. And then pretty much we've got this major lack of trust, a lack of faith in our government institutions right now. And so the problem is it doesn't matter what they're going to say. It doesn't matter if John Kirby comes out and says nothing to see here. People aren't going to believe it, even if it's the truth. And we've got to fix that. But more importantly, we've got to fix the gaps we have in our drone defenses, the gaps we have in technology, in our national security infrastructure. We are not used to worrying about drones in our airspace. We've always owned that market for years. We were the ones that could send drones thousands of miles away in another country and fly them, you know, from Nevada or New Mexico. And we own that space. That doesn't exist anymore. We're no longer own the drone technology space because of what innovations have been occurring overseas over the last few years, especially with the Ukraine war. So our government is not in a position to be able to detect and mitigate and down these smaller drones. And that's why they're confused internally. So how do they come out and tell the public with confidence they've got it handled when I personally know internally they don't. They're catching up to what's really going on in other parts of the world.
Okay, so we're speaking with Brett Velikovich. My apologies for butchering your name before. I've been practicing it and I said it wrong still. You are a drone expert. You know about these things at a level that most Americans wouldn't know about it. President-elect Donald Trump, earlier in his press conference was asked about these earlier this week, and he said they know what's going on. The military knows what's going on. Is the communication style coming from this government? Do you believe that it is just haphazard, and are they just fumbling the ball completely? Are they being evasive for a particular reason? Is there a benefit to being that way?
No, I don't think they're being evasive, and I don't think it's some big government conspiracy. But they're having a hard time articulating that to our country, because we believe that we are an extremely powerful nation, and we have billions of dollars that go to our Defense Department, our intelligence services, all this fancy technology. We have, you know, nuclear bombs. Like, we've got some crazy stuff in our arsenal. But it's hard to tell the average American that we just don't have the proper authorities, drone detection systems at a widespread level in the U.S. and convince the American people that that's the case, because it's like, where is all this money going to? Mm. Well, we have this major, huge, you know, we're first world country, very powerful. And so no one believes that we're not set up to do something about it, unless you start talking to the real experts that are seeing this stuff every single day. And they will tell you that we are not prepared. We are extremely vulnerable. This issue has been happening now for a couple years. I've talked to a few sources in the industry that work very closely with the DOD, specifically doing counter-drone technology, and they were told to prepare for this October and this December for these drone events to start occurring again. But the problem is that you've got all of these different agencies. You've got the FAA, the DHS, the FBI. Everyone's got different authorities. No one really knows who's in charge. The local law enforcement doesn't know what they're legally allowed to do. And so you've got this just massive problem with different groups not knowing what to do. And that's a government inefficiency issue. There should be a whole of government approach to fix this, because this is not going to be the last time that we're going to have drones flying over our airspace and not know what's going on.
How much of this activity takes place and it doesn't make the national news? I mean, I would assume there are
all the time across the country,
or is New Jersey just the hotbed?
No, all the time across the country, drones are flying over military bases, sensitive sites, and not even just in U.S. military bases in the United States. There are confirmed, you know, drones flying over bases in Europe, in Germany, and there was drones flying over the UK recently that they couldn't figure out. This is not hard to do. If I wanted to do it to the enemy, I could all day long, and there isn't much they could do about it. But that's the reality, is there are more drones in the world than there are manned aircraft. So a lot of drones don't have. If some kid in his backyard builds a drone, he doesn't put all the fancy technology in it that the FAA can use to track the locations of these things that are required by law. They don't care. So they're going to go do whatever they want. And that's the reality, is we've got a lot of drones out there that can't be tracked because there's just not real regulation designed to stop it.
You said, Brett, we're speaking with Brett Velikovich, who's a drone expert. You said, like, if you wanted to do this and track your enemy, that you could do that. So, I mean, is it, I'm just going to ask a really basic question. Is it obvious that our enemies are doing that here already?
It's obvious to the experts in the industry. It's obvious to the intelligence agencies. It's not obvious to the everyday law enforcement officer or governor or local congressman. And that's what has captivated the American people these last couple weeks, is because people are starting to finally look up in the air. People are starting to ask real hard questions, and they should be. The American people have a right to know what's in our airspace, but we no longer control our airspace. Frankly, we no longer have control over it, which we used to. And that's because it's not difficult for somebody commercially to take drones that used to be reserved only for military, you know, first world nation states that have the big military budgets. it's nothing for people to create create these systems. And that's the danger here is I've been really pushing, like, I don't even care at this point if it's adversarial, if it's some secret government project. I've been really just focused on why our government doesn't have a handle on it and why they can't honestly say what's going on. And you've got different government officials saying different things. You've got senators coming out saying it's Iran. You've got someone just came out this morning and said it's China. Then other groups are, you got President Trump coming out and saying it's our military knows. And there's too much confusion across the board because our own government can't get a handle on it. Remember when the president was nearly, President Trump was nearly assassinated recently? There was a drone flying in the air for almost 3 or 4 hours before that occurred by the shooter. The Secret Service, had they had counter drone technology in place that can easily detect those drones over those more VIP locations that we have senior leaders going to, they would have been able to determine that somebody was flying a surveillance drone, but they didn't have it there and they didn't employ it. And this is the Secret Service. Yeah. If the Secret Service at the federal level that should have a ton of budget can't even do it, what do you think, like, the New Jersey Highway Patrol guy who sees a drone in the air with a bomb on it, what do you think, like, he can do about it right now? Nothing.
Panic.
Nothing.
That's it. Yeah, it's very disconcerting for especially the people who are probably in that position in law enforcement. They know enough to know what the possibilities are, but they're getting absolutely nothing from the powers that be to provide the safety and security that they know needs to be provided. With the new administration coming in, I assume that there would be an opportunity to have a new mentality towards our protection from these drones, or awareness of, or the ability to communicate surrounding them, especially considering they're as prominent as you say that they are. What do you have specific suggestions on regulations or policies that should be put in place regarding our American attitude towards drones?
Well, I think this event is shifting that. We're seeing, I think we're going to see a major shift in investment in drone technology. I think Red Cat Holdings is one that's seeing that already, just because the U.S. military is starting to use non-Chinese made drones. That's a big reason why they chose Red Cat's products for their infantry soldiers, because we've had to rely on Chinese technology for a while at the tactical small level, because frankly, it was better. I mean, that's it. And a soldier in a trench is going to use what's the best tool they have available to them. And if that Chinese drone's better, they're going to use that. But that's shifted now. Now we have technology like Red Cat and the Black Widow and systems that are really capable of shifting the balance of power into our favor in that regard. And I think you're going to see this move to Congress to start putting money in counter drone technology solutions also. And I think a lot of people are learning now how the industry is needs more investment in it, and how each state needs to be on the same literally wavelength with these systems to help protect the public.
We're speaking with Brett Velikovich. He is an expert when it comes to drones, a former United States Army Special Ops Tech Analyst. He's a member of Red Cat Holdings Board of Advisors. Brett, give us some examples. I understand that you might know exactly. If you did, you'd be the first one to make it clear to the American people here. But what are some examples of reasons why an adversary, or maybe just another country who wants to do a little looking, would fly a drone over a military base, or, you know, somebody's home in a suburban New Jersey or whatever it might be? What are some of the intentions that are within the realm of the technology that exists on these drones that these individuals could be, or individual companies or countries, I should say?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Could be using these drones for.
Yeah, it's all about the data. I mean, I used to do this in the U.S. government. My job was to hunt terrorists, senior level leaders within ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And I did that with drones primarily. And what you're doing is you're gathering as much data as you can, as much information, so that you can use that for war and use that information. A lot of people think that drones are all about just high powered cameras, and a drone can, you know, like just flies over a city and, you know, whatever it's staring at, that's the only information it's collecting. That's just not true at all. You can put a lot of sensors, special technology on drones to collect information. Like, you can collect cell phone. I could take a small drone, fly it over your neighborhood and take everyone's cell phone numbers within seconds in that entire neighborhood. And there's a lot of stuff you can do with that. You can take IP addresses from computers. You can hack into different systems. Any device that an intelligence organization has that's light enough to fit on a drone, you can use it for that. And that's the danger here, is this collection on Americans that could be potentially used against us during war. That's really the danger.
I guess, I mean, that sounds spooky. It sounds scary. I know people like have freaked out post 9/11 about the Patriot Act and this sounds like that on steroids. It seems very intimidating to hear that type of thing. When we talk about our enemies doing that to us, what is the worst case scenario that you see happening from what we're watching take place in New Jersey that is actually within the realm of possibility with the lack of attention that we're seeing from our United States government? Like, how bad could this actually be?
Well, the biggest danger is there's bombs strapped to these things,
and that's a possibility.
As they're flying, and that's happening every single day in Ukraine. Bombs are attached to drones that children used to use a couple years ago, and they're destroying multi-million-dollar tanks. They're destroying naval warships. A drone that costs $1,000 can, you know, be outfitted with the right bombs and hit just the perfect location to destroy warships. That's happening every single day. Like 70 to 80% of the attacks, of the strikes right now on the Ukraine-Russian war are from drone strikes. That's how they're fighting this fight. And when you talk about the sightings over President Trump's
Bedminster
area, you then start talking about the movements of VIPs. And that's what I did, right? I would follow bad guys around all day long. I would watch them go into their house and go to sleep and walk out of their house and drive around and do everything they did. And you would just establish that life pattern of where they're moving. And then when you're ready to strike, you strike. And that's the other piece of it, is if somebody starts putting bombs on these things, it's a whole different level. And if these drones can fly over those sensitive sites without much difficulty, it's nothing to put a bomb on them and do the same thing. So that's where the real danger is, I think, is you start weaponizing these.
It sounds like we're way behind on, like, do we have the ability to stop them? But it seems like the lack of ability to communicate with the American people right now really gives a lot of people, and it scares me that it scares you, how haphazardly the government is addressing this current problem right now. Is it a matter of mindset to handle this situation the correct way? You get a new guy in there and policy changes and you can remedy a lot of these things, or is it going to take an enormous amount of time?
Our government is not just—it's not designed to move rapidly and innovate rapidly. That's got to change. The FAA, I looked up recently, the administrators in charge of the FAA, I don't think we've had one in the last near decade that didn't last more than 18 months. The FAA is supposed to be in charge of this airspace, and drones will become more important to manage than manned aircraft in the coming years because of the sheer volume. And they sort of like don't, it's we've got these senior leaders that didn't grow up in the drone world, if that makes sense. I don't know how to quantify that, but it's like our Secretary of Defense currently. That guy, when he was probably a rock star infantry soldier, just a total just rock star, right, to become a SecDef. That dude did not get training on how drones work, sure, like I did growing up post 9/11. And it's going to take this like decade transition in leadership to start saying, guys, like there's a new way of fighting a war. Like we used to in Vietnam, when we were shooting at someone over the hill, we would just shoot at the helmet that we saw popping up over the hill. We didn't know what was over there. We just knew the enemy was there and you fired that direction. Now with drones, we can see what's over that hill. We can say, yes, that definitely is the bad guys. And it's like a whole government change in mentality that's got to shift towards this, and I don't see it happening anytime soon. I don't see the best we have right now is President Trump being able to come in there, and maybe even Doge, right, with Elon Musk. Like that's like the best solution to chop the excess and go right to the core of what's needed in these agencies. I just like that is a monumental task.
Yes.
I really hope that they can change it and start. The biggest thing though is like we need more money poured into our drone industry. Our industrial base, that built drones has been decimated. A lot of companies are just now starting to really get big investments to build out their drone warehouses and production, and that's really, really good. They haven't done it before because of regulations. Regulations cost a lot of money dealing with, and we have to flip those policies quickly and get our country back leading the drone war.
Yes. When you're talking about the people who are making the decisions right now not understanding drone warfare, I remember when the Senate was, there was a hearing and they were talking to like Mark Zuckerberg and they're like, you don't have to pay to sign up for Facebook. How do you make money? And he's like, advertising. And it was just such a foreign, and you're like, these people are not on social media. They might have social media managers, but here they are responsible for something that's big and broad and censoring the American people. And they don't even know where to start. And, you know, I just want to thank you specifically. I did a little Google, and I don't know if Google is always correct here, but when I looked up Brett's age here, it said that he's 41. So he's basically the same class that I am. And we just lost our connection with him. So we're going to get him back on the show because that was a really interesting conversation. He might call back. He's in the United States Army. He's another example of a guy who signed up post 9/11. He talked about growing up in a post 9/11 world. And these individuals who have signed up under these circumstances, they are a different breed. And I think it's really, really important. I don't know that we have as a country quite yet appropriately recognized those individuals who have stepped into the fray and been a part of this post 9/11 battle that exists in such a different way than it did in wars past. So it's exciting. Are we going to get him again? I'm Yes. OK. All right. Brad's going out to talk to Ethan to see what's going on. Being 40 myself, I have dear friends of mine who served in a capacity post 9/11 and was able to go in and fight a war that had no boundaries, had entirely different means under wild circumstances after 9/11, and a lot of people having to answer questions in a way that was just very difficult. Under a lot of people post Afghanistan questioning why they went there because they've seen people like Joe Biden really disrespect them and the way that they've handled the post war over there. Great to talk to Brett Belakovich. Excited to have him on, and we'll get him back on again soon. Let's take a quick break. Went super long with Brett, but that was an interesting conversation. We'll be back after a few quick messages here. Don't go away.